We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey there! Welcome to Love My Renovation Project, where we discuss all things regarding renovation with either the 203K by FHA or the Homestyle Renovation Mortgage by Fannie Mae. There are at least seven other ones that we deal with, but these are the two primaries. VA has a renovation mortgage, so if a VA buyer is buying with 100% financing, he now can get the money to fix it up as well, provided the property will appraise. Anyway, the benefit to the lender is a consistent... I see what I did. Anyway, a lot of consultants don't provide a property inspection report with their 203K paperwork. You are supposed to. It is part of the guideline. When you do an FHA consultation for 203K, the consultant is supposed to turn in a quasi-property inspection that we disclaim as this is not a home inspection per the HUD guideline. The reality is, why have one if you've got to disclaim it's not a home inspection? Well, that's because in HUD's infinite wisdom, they said we had to become home inspectors in the states where we are consulting. La-da-da. So as a home inspector, I explained to them that we're violating the process in every state where we have to do a home inspection and put prices to it. A consultant actually bids the job. And if he's not, then he's not doing the job. So what does a consultant actually do? They meet with the client at the property. They walk through the property inspecting it. And they come up with a scope of work. Then they add anything and everything else that the homeowner would like to do to the house. So at that time they come up with a scope, and then the consultant goes out there and he puts prices to it. And now the borrower is empowered because they have a clear idea that the cost of this project will be X number of dollars or somewhere in that vicinity. So if you're a consultant and you're not bidding the job before the contractor does, then you're not doing your job. And why should you get paid the same as I do or some other consultant that is bidding the job? You shouldn't. You shouldn't even be calling yourself a consultant if you can't perform the duties in the guideline. So what we've done is we came up with three or four years ago, I come up with an app that'll do that mandatory inspection for you. Yes, if possible, you can have upsell a full home inspection, but if you do, then that needs to be included with your submission along with your SOR. So, but the benefit to the lender is you get a consistent home inspection / property inspection for your reports. The benefit to the inspector is once you fill out the check boxes and print the report, your job is pretty much finished. You can make the report and share it right there. You can be able to make your inspections faster because you're doing it on the job in an app. You're going to send it back to your office. It'll be waiting at your desk when you get back to your office. Then all you have to do is write your scope of work and bid the job. It is so important to bid the job. That's why we're here. My favorite story, my favorite example was one I did in Marin County for a 24-year-old lady buying her first house. She had already told me, I have a contractor, but I put the prices together in about 4 days, turned it in to her. She said, oh, this is perfect, $159,000. That's right in my ballpark where I wanted to be. And then she gave it to her contractor only. I just take the prices off with a click of a button. and submitted it to her contractor asking to bid it. She talked to him, and after 4.5 weeks, he had all of his subcontractors out there doing their due diligence. When it came back, now remember, my bid was 159, so his should be in that ballpark. He came in at $298,000. The homeowner, being 24 years old and buying her first home ever, wanted to know, did I even know what I was doing? And I just took that with a grain of salt and suggested that we get another bid, which I made her pick the contractor. I don't care how you find him, but he did. She did, and the new contractor came in at $161,000, just $2,000 different than my bid. Now, isn't that interesting? At that point, she changed her tone to, my contractor was about to rip me off. Well, that's not always the case. I mean, if you can be 10 or even 20% higher than my bid, you know, you're pretty much got a good bid. But when you're $135,000 high, something is wrong. Something's amiss. And what she didn't know, and I did, was that Marin County is a high rent district. Contractors who work there typically get more money for the same work that contractors would get across the bay. Okay, so not a problem. Not a problem at all. Anyway, so secondly, in that app, we also included a 442 compliance inspection report, which allows anybody, appraisers can typically do them, appraisers can buy that one, and turn out a 442 from the job site. Once they finish the 442, they can literally email it right from the app to the lender. So a lot of times lenders, when they have a 442, it might be for something simple. It might be as simple as a broken window. So they just need someone to go out there and verify that that broken window has been repaired and send them a written report. So you can do that. You can certainly do that with this app. And you can send it directly from the field so that the lender has it faster than he's ever had a 442 before. Okay. Appraisers have had a lock on these inspections for years. I know I was one, and I did a lot of them, literally thousands of them. A few years ago, they were deregulated, so now anyone who knows how to do the inspection can do the inspection. So consultants out there, look at the 442 compliance inspection report. Okay, look at that form. It looks exactly like page 2 or very similar to page 2 of your draw inspection report. It's got the box down there. It's got numbers. You check a box and say, okay, number 14. Go down and check the box 14 and write what your comment is. The broken window has been repaired, if that's what it is. So when you get an order for a 442 inspection or a compliance inspection report, you definitely need to know what you're there to look at. So you need to have them give you the the list of things that you're going to look at. It may be one thing, it may be 10, who knows what it is. So get that. But while most 203Ks and other renovation loans go off without a hitch, from time to time the homeowner may find themselves with nobody to talk to that knows the program inside out and understands what can be done or what the rules are. So if you feel overwhelmed, you feel like the consultant really isn't on your side, he's not supposed to be on your side. That's right. He was on your side when he was a consultant. Once the loan closed and the construction started, the consultant is no longer the consultant. He now works for the lender as the inspector. He works for HUD as the inspector. They want to make sure that the work that is completed and will be paid for was done in a professional and workmanlike manner. That's all. So don't look for him to be your buddy any longer than it takes, you know, after it closes escrow. The consultant, he or she is not your buddy. They are there to do a job, and that job is not to babysit the homeowner. So when you think you have that consultant relationship still, you don't. So you need somebody else to talk to, pick the phone up and call us, or go to 9123K911.com and tell us what the issues are. We were able to have a listener the other day that heard about us on the radio and told us about his issues, and we were able to help him over the phone. We don't charge for that, by the way. Only if you decide to have us physically write the letters and hand them to you, and then make sure that everybody on the other end of that stick knows that we're in the process with you to back you up. Anyway, so there's a lot of consultants listening to this program, and I want you all to know you can call us too. If you're having an issue you haven't run across before and you need someone to talk to, pick the phone up or call us, or go to our website, 203k911.com. Go down to the message part and write us a message. Tell us what your issues are. We're happy to talk to you too. The reason we do is we help anybody. We want the program to go smoothly. We love this program. I've loved it for 25 years plus. Okay, so we're looking at helping whoever we can. There seems to be a great deal of misconception on the consultant's part that there's no work for them. There is work for anybody who wants it. There always has been. There always will be. So don't just whine that you're not getting your share if you think you're not getting your share. You can go to one of my websites and find out a link that'll show you just exactly how many 203Ks were done in your backyard yesterday or last year, last month, month before, and for years in the past. But it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, you could create a business. I can create a business anywhere in the United States and get 40 jobs in 60 days. 40 jobs in 60 days. How? Well, you've got to know how. You've got to do it and do it right. So if you don't market yourselves properly, and particularly if you're hoping the website at HUD is going to give you all the business you can handle, it isn't. It's just not going to do that. So you have to market yourself. And if you don't know how, and if you weren't trained how, our training is very affordable. Let's see. I also made an offer last show that I was leaving on vacation. And for any consultant that wants more work, to get a hold of us. If you want to be on our referral list for us to refer jobs to you, let me know. It is hilarious that nobody outside of our own group has suggested that they want more business with that offer. Lordy, lordy, lordy. Do you really want more business, or you just want to complain and cry about not getting enough business? Well, I'm pretty relentless. So anyway, I'm glad you're here with us today. We appreciate it. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of the show. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back. And I understand we have a guest waiting when we come back. So hang in there.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Well, we're back. That was a long take. We're back with you. Call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the show. And I understand we have a caller, so go ahead and let's put him on. Let's see who we got.
Hey, Mike, this is Howard Nordberg.
Howard, great. Howard, so you're with Guild Mortgage.
With Guild Mortgage, and I guess maybe I should say, 448-480, my NMSL number. My NMSL number, you know.
Excellent, excellent. I know you used to work closely with one of our team members in Central Valley up through Sacramento, Jim Browning. It was a tragic way he passed. You know, I know he was sitting at my dining room table talking, and he showed me how he reached out with his right hand and he couldn't couldn't tell where the salt shaker was, but he knows in his mind that he's 2 inches beyond. So he just pulls his hand back 2 inches and he could grab it. And 2 weeks later, he had passed. He had cancer of the brain. But I know you for a long time. You were with Wells Fargo way back. But tell me, what is your background? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, sure. Well, I started in the mortgage industry back in 1979. And I've kind of seen it all, and I've kind of worked throughout the entire industry. But of the last probably 20 years, I've specialized in renovation and construction of perm. And it also along that way, while I've when I was hired with Wells Fargo, I was hired as a senior underwriter that trained and also specialized in construction perm and renovation. And of course, through that, I received my direct endorsement from FHA.
Okay. What does direct endorsement actually mean for some of our listeners?
A direct endorsement is a process that an underwriter would go through where they would submit loans that they've underwritten for a review. And after a certain period of time, then when you're directly endorsed by FHA, it's kind of like you're now their underwriter underwriting loans that are, you know, based on their guidelines and everything. So you're a trusted person in the field underwriting. Now, since then, I've now kind of moved over into the loan officer end of the deal, still working with renovation loans. I love it.
Oh, I know what you mean. What are some of your favorite things you love about it?
Well, I mean, one of the things I love is I love seeing old homes and old things becoming new again. Like, for example, you know, properties that may have been built in the turn of the century and where there's a lot of, you know, maintenance that needs to be done and updating and everything else. And basically bringing that home with the still period look to it and being fully restored. But in addition to that, it's modernized, of course, to meet all today's codes and amenities. And that to me is kind of really kind of cool to see those old homes with that real turn of the century and Victorian and various period pieces just kind of shine and show out their personality.
Nice, nice. Hey, you know, one we're doing right now in Elk Grove, California, is the oldest house ever built that's still remaining in Elk Grove, the oldest home. So I know what you mean there. What are some of the advantages of renovation financing, both for the purchases and refinances?
Well, I mean, for purchases, I mean, this is seemingly one of the most overlooked things when people go into the market to look for homes. And why I'm always continuously trying to educate the realtors and buyers in this, is where you could buy the home in its as-is condition and include the cost of the renovation or rehabilitation, updating, customizing. Basically, customize the home the way you like it and include that cost into the total, you know, it becomes a total acquisition cost, and include that into the financing. And you see a lot of realtors that will list properties like this, like great for investors and things like that. Most people, when they're looking at those listings that they're buying for their personal residence, they overlook that because all of a sudden they're thinking, that's not for me. I'm not an investor. But truly, anybody who buys a home, whether it's for investment or for your primary residence, first-time home buyer, we're all investors. So those are the diamonds in the rough that you see that are great deals to look out for. So there's huge advantages to that. The other thing is be able to refinance. A lot of people feel like, well, I don't have enough equity in my home if I want to, you know, expand on it, add some rooms, and also do some repairs. They don't realize that the renovation loan, both for purchase and for refinance, is based on the after improved value. That means as if the work had already been completed.
That's right. You know, we did a one where the people lived in this one-story home for years. And I don't know if they were planning a family or not, but all of a sudden the family came. And the guy did not want to move. He loved the area. He liked the schools. And they ended up taking it up another flight, put an entire second story on their house, and remodeled the kitchen and the bathroom. But I think every house that's sold should be a renovation loan, because there's something about it that the buyer doesn't like. Why not fix it with a renovation loan?
Well, you know, and that's a good point, because I deal with realtors who may be listing properties, and they feel as though that they have to put the seller in a position to fix up the property themselves in order to sell it. And what happens, it puts them into more or less a reverse leverage, where now they're putting money into the property only in hopes to recuperate that money back. And in the end of the day, you may have somebody look at the property and say, well, you know, I love the house, but I hate the carpet. And so you may have spent money putting in a carpet for somebody else to look at it who doesn't really like it, and they have in the back of their mind the cost that they're going to have to put into it to replace that carpet.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people remove carpet in a house, brand new carpet, and throw it away because their kids are allergic to the carpet and the dust mites, even in that newer carpeting. So what's your most interesting story? I'm sure you have a bunch of them on any renovations loans you've done.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most interesting that comes to my mind is, you know, I operate, you know, basically in the state of California. I'm licensed in Utah as well. But there's this one project that I did financing for, and it was in the little town called Eielton, California. And if anyone knows anything about Eielton, this area was really kind of a Chinese worker town where the Chinese worked out in the fields. This was the town where they lived in. And right on Main Street, there's a lot of these little storefronts. Well, this particular property was right on Main Street where it was a multi-unit mixed-use property. So it was a historical property, and of course it was built right around the early 1900s. And according to the historical society there, you had to maintain the commercial front. And then there was, I can't remember, it was three or four other units on it. So it was a multi-unit mixed-use property built in the 1900s. And the thing is this place used to be a casino brothel, which has a whole story behind it. There was a cage in the back where they exchanged the money. There was an escape door where in case the feds came, they can jump out of there and run down to the river and jump on the boat and get out of town. Some of the materials that they would use, if you can imagine some of these old buildings where they had tin brick siding, you couldn't remove that. The only way of any way of dealing with that is either repairing that or having it specially made. But I thought that was just a really, really interesting property.
Well, I've been to Eielton, and the first thing, many times, by the way, a friend of mine had a hotel there, and a nightclub, and we had live music on the weekends. But I remember it being in kind of two sections. There was the old Chinatown section, and the first part of it, though, was not Chinatown, but it's still some great historic buildings. But when you get into the, especially if you stay up on the levee and you go past town and look down on Chinatown, a lot of those buildings are still like they were back in 1910. Or 1900s.
Right.
They got the sheet metal siding, corrugated metal siding, and really very poorly built, frankly.
Yeah, I recommend really anybody who's in that area, just take a drive by there. It's just a fascinating little town.
Well, most people think of Eielton when they think of the Crawdad Festival. That's where they hold that Crawdad Festival, and they'll pack 100,000 people in that little tiny town that weekend. I mean, it's amazing to see that many people all coming to eat some crawdads.
Right.
So that sounds interesting for sure. Let's see. Do you have any other ones? Got anything in Sacramento?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've done a number of them in Sacramento. We're in the, like, what they call the Fab 40s district, which is a specific area around Arden area on there. And it's very much of a desired area. Most of the homes originally there were all bungalow style. But if you could buy one, you really get more dollar for, you get more than dollar for dollar value when you do an addition. This particular home was in that area, and they renovated into kind of a 40s style, and they added a second story to it. And it was absolutely a gorgeous home, and I believe it was even featured in Home and Garden.
Yeah, interesting. When was it featured? When they renovated it, or back in the 40s when they originally built it?
No, after it was renovated. I mean, they just kind of kept it that same feel. If you can imagine, just some of the type of tile work, the open beam and everything else, the fireplace on there. It was just absolutely gorgeous. It really almost kind of looked like a 1940s Hollywood home.
Wow. Do you have any other ones? This is fun. It's fun for me. I hope it is for the listeners. You know,
I mean, I've just, another one comes to my mind in the area of Los Banos. This woman had bought a home, and this was built in the late 1800s. And you know as well as I know that construction standards were just kind of all over the place. This particular place was wood on dirt. In other words, it didn't even have a foundation. It was like a wood foundation right on dirt. So what we were able to do is raise the home and pour a permanent foundation and then set the home back down on it. Still kind of has that steel feel, but again, this is another example of modernizing something yet keeping it, with that period look.
Yeah, keep the flavor.
Right.
Wow. When you say they raised the home, you didn't mean R-A-Z.
No. They raised, they lifted the house. They were lift the house on the foundation. I mean, that's an amazing thing. A lot of people don't realize how many different types of, how many different things that you could do or utilize a renovation loan for. And this is a prime example. I mean, I've had one where they already had an existing foundation and a lot they owned. They bought a house for a dollar and moved it over.
Yeah.
Another one, for example, this one actually closed in March. This was in Ocampo, California. If you know that area, it's just south of Elk Grove that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Now, this guy wanted to buy this house on this land, and it was a real, it needed a lot of work. I mean, to give you an example, everything, there was no cabinets, none of that in the house. It was cleared out. Flooring was busted, a lot of holes in the walls. Matter of fact, it was weird artwork painted, spray painted on the walls, and goats were even living in this place. But it was zoned rural commercial. And when this person wanted to buy it, he was advised that he had to get a commercial loan. So he went to a bank, actually, to see if he could get a commercial loan. He got as far as the appraisal, and the appraisal came back and showed that there was a structure on that property. He was thinking of it as a commercial lot purchase. And they said, well, we can't do it. So the deal was just absolutely dead. This was a purchase. Absolutely dead. So it made its way to me. The first thing I did is I contacted the county, the building planning commission or whatever, and I was able to ask them about this property. It was zoned rural commercial, and I said, there's a home on here. We want to do a refinance. Can I get a burn letter? And if anybody doesn't know what a burn letter is, simply is, if you have a home that's been grandfathered in because zone changes, that burn letter is very important for the lender. It's very important for your insurance company to know that in the case that your home burns down and it's not in the same zoning, then that burn letter says that you could rebuild that home the way it was. So I got a burn letter on here stating that there's a stick-built home on here that needs renovation, and that basically that burn letter gave us a variance to build on that rural commercial property. So basically we were able to turn a deal that nobody ever thought was ever going to happen into a renovation loan that he purchased it, and it's in the middle of renovation right now.
Hey, clear this up for me. Was that just a house that was commercially used, or was there a commercial property on there too?
The property itself was zoned rural commercial, and I think that house originally was a residence. At some point in time, somebody may have used it for an office, but there were zoning changes in the area. So we were able to go back and prove that it was an original single-family residence. I mean, we had records, systems, and all that other kind of stuff.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's what, you know, it's not so much what you're trying to do, it's how you present it to the county or to the whoever the commission is that's going to be making that decision. I know we transferred or changed the school back to a single family house. And a few weeks later, I get a phone call from another lender, a different one. And he insisted that I come out to Petaluma and look at this old school. I said, I don't need to come out there. We can make it a house as long as the zoning will allow it. And he said, it's a house now. They're using it as a house. So he finally dragged me out there. And I said, okay, now I've seen it. I haven't changed my mind. And he says, you got a lender that'll loan on this? And I dialed a lender right there in front of him, put it on a speaker. And I said, I've got another school. We're going to turn it into a house. You got okay with that? Oh, absolutely, Mike. No problem. You write it up. We'll loan on it. And he hung up. And he asked me, who was that? And I told him, well, son of a gun. And he gets on the phone. And he calls that guy right back. And he says, hey, how come you turned me down on that thing? And the lender says, okay, you can't do it. Bye. And he hangs up on him. So it's not what you, I mean, it is what you say. You know, you got to lay it out properly. And this guy, he turned a done deal into a no deal just because of that. He was irate that he didn't get the right answer, but he didn't lay it out properly in the first place. But anyway, what do you think are some of the most misunderstood things or myths about renovation loans?
I think one of them that you hear, and you get this from more often with realtors, is it takes very long to close. It's a long, drawn-out closing process.
Typically, what does it take to close one? How long do you need?
You know, so this is the way I describe it. You know, it depends on how extensive the job is, and it also depends on the buyer if they're really engaged in the process. And I say it doesn't, the party doesn't start till everybody gets there. So, but typically, if everybody's on the ball, you should be able to close these within 30 to 45 days.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
How does
the cost of this loan compare to other solutions the buyer might look at?
Well, I mean, one of the other myths that says, well, this is just really expensive, and it really isn't. The cost on it, you know, typically there may be a little bit higher cost in the rate because, frankly, it's a higher risk loan. They're lending based as if the work had already been completed. Not to mention there's people still involved in the process all the way up until the time the home is completed. But when you look on the other side of it, typically when you purchase a home as is, your tax basis is going to be based on that purchase price, not necessarily on the after improved value. You're usually buying the home at a cut rate price, so you're getting a good deal on it. So when you factor all that in, it's not quite as expensive as you think. I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I went to this house, I was looking at it, and it had no kitchen. And I'm going, well, cool. That means somebody's already paid for the demolition. I mean, think of the cost it is to build a home from the ground up. All of the other, all the extra taxes and fees and everything else that you have to pay before you even break ground. A renovation loan, in essence, you could take it all the way down to the studs and basically build a new home with a renovation loan. If you pick the right property, it's got good bones. And you get the right price on it. So as far as being expensive, not really. When you pan it out, it actually turns out to be a better deal. And usually, and Mike, you know this, at the end of the day, you end up with more equity than if you were going to buy a turnkey home.
Isn't that neat? Yeah.
Yep.
What about what I found and what I tell clients is when you're looking at the cost, it's more expensive if you're using hard money because the interest rate's higher and you've got to pay it off or renew it after a few months, 6 months or 9 months typically, or a year. And this thing is a much longer term loan, so you don't have, you're not forced to refinance it and pay more points. This is a 30-year fixed loan.
Right. You know, part of the other thing.
Go ahead.
Part
I'm
of the
sorry,
other thing,
just,
as far as go ahead.
Go ahead. that struck a chord with me, though. But, you know, I love mixed-use buildings. If you had a commercial building already in your possession, you could refinance it, add some living area, renovate the existing residential aspects. What would be the typical down payment on a refinance project?
You know, it depends on what the after improved value is and the equity that you have on it. But typically, they'll go up to 97.75%. Okay, and that's and it's kind of hard to fathom this, but it's going to be based on the total acquisition cost. There's another factor up to 110%. I won't bore anybody with the details on it, but
did you say 97.5%?
97.75.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I thought it was all 96.5.
That's on a purchase.
Ah, okay. So refinance, they get a little better deal.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. Go ahead.
So, let me think here. Just one more example. We have people that want to try to do a refinance on their home to try to get cash out to do some repairs and renovation. And oftentimes what happens, they're thinking, well, how much am I going to charge on my Home Depot card and everything else like that? You know, the interest rates on those things are just awful. You have to understand that on a renovation loan, even under refinance, it is considered a rate and term. So you're going to have a better rate, oftentimes, than getting a cash out refinance rate. But and you're also based on after improved value instead of what the current value is. The other thing is you know, I've seen people that try to manage their own projects. And they'll pull money out, equity. They'll do a cash out refinance in their home, and they run out of money. Well, when you work in conjunction with a renovation loan, especially on the larger projects where you've got a HUD consultant involved, number one, they're going to help look over the feasibility of the project. It's not going to be a never ending project where you've got an open end contract with a contractor. And typically they're going to try to keep you within budget, but we're going to know what that value is and how much money and what can get accomplished before the loan even closes. So, you know, I've done a number of bailouts where people have started renovation projects, and they've run out of money. And so
I must have eight or 10 of them running right now that we've salvaged. Because the people ran out of money, they thought they would just do it out of pocket, and it ended up costing more than they expected. But you and I talked the other day, and you said something. See if I can get it here. You were saying something about a property doesn't have to need fixing to be a renovation loan. Do you remember that?
That's correct.
How would that work?
Well, I mean, if you see a property, say you're wanting to buy, and it's not listed as a fixer, and maybe it can be move-in ready, but maybe it's just old and it's tired. Maybe it needs new carpet, new new AC system, new appliances, which, by the way, you can include appliances into it. Maybe revitalize the kitchen. You can include that into the purchase price, so as long as the after-approved value supports that.
Wow. Now that's great. That's the biggest reason I think that every new home purchase should be a renovation loan of some sort. There's something there you don't like. Maybe the windows haven't been replaced. Everything else has been renovated, but the windows haven't. You can do that. And if your ratios are a little bit out of kilter, sometimes you may find that piggybacking an EEM might be an advantage to get your ratios back where they belong. Have you ever done an EEM?
I have. And an EEM has certain little factors to it that allow you to go above and beyond the max loan-to-value limits.
Yes.
In solar, solar as well. I mean, that seems to be the big thing as well. And like I said, solar in energy efficient, other energy efficient items also seem to be the thing that they can also include and add in as well.
Yeah, we did one where they were putting a 45 kW system in. And the key was you have to buy the equipment. It has to be part of the purchase.
Correct. Correct.
In other words, it can't be leased.
Correct.
It can't be leased. So, well, that's cool. Well, was there anything else that you wanted to add today? I appreciate you calling in. I really do, more than you can imagine. I know that anybody listening out there that needs a good lender, I can recommend Howard very, very highly. You know, he's like I said, he did work for about 20 years or so with one of our teammates that we trained and worked for us. And we were sad to see him go, particularly the way he went, but it was quick. That was good.
You want to know the truth is I actually got him back into it.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I suggested that he get back into it. And then he called you to get set up.
He was a jewel of a man. I was talking to his wife the other day, and she has a nickname for him, Rambo.
Yeah.
And I said, Rambo, where does that come from? And she said, this Rottweiler was growling and snarling and running right at me. And Jim just hauled off and socked him in the side of the head and knocked that dog out.
Wow.
I didn't even know that was possible. But I said, okay, well, I'm calling him Rambo from now on. Anyway, thank you so much.
If there's one thing I just wanted to just put a cap on this whole thing is don't be afraid of a renovation loan or a property that seems like it's going to be a fixer. The most important thing is you deal with people who are experienced in this. This is all that I do. I could do a regular purchase, regular refi, any of that, but I specialize in this kind of program because I love it. If you're working with someone who is not really experienced in it, you kind of want to consider, you know, hey, call Mike. Mike knows all the guys, right? And he'll get you hooked up with the right person. But don't turn away from these properties. These are opportunities. There's a reason why investors look at these kind of properties because they're great deals. Oh, and again, we're all investors.
That was a mouthful right there. All you investors that may be listening here, the Homestyle Renovation Mortgage is one you can use to finance some of the costs there when you're purchasing an investment property. Okay, FHA 203K has to be owner-occupied, but the Homestyle is for investors as well. So anyway, thank you so much for calling. I see we're coming up on a hard break. If you want to say more, you can stick around after the break, but it's just about a minute. So anybody call out there and want to call in and be part of the show, dial 888-627-6008. Howard, we'll see you next time unless you're here after the break, and then we'll have you back on. But for right now, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea! we found the perfect house. But there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Welcome back. Welcome. A longtime friend of mine, Howard Nordberg. Again, he was working with one of my crew members. Apparently that he had asked that home inspector to get in the business. And then that's how about 23, 4 years ago, Jim Browning got a hold of us and we trained him and he became part of our team. He did all the stuff for me down in the Central Valley. I no longer had to drive that distance, thank God. I was thinking while we were talking with Howard, we've had a couple of unique foundations. We had one that was a 135-year-old home that had a telephone poles. It had six telephone poles, and they put stringers between the poles, and that became your floor joists. And then they built the house around it. It was a two-story house. There was no cracks, no deflection. Nothing was wrong with that house inside. It was lath and plaster. It had been there through earthquakes, several earthquakes, and literally there was not so much as a tear in the wallpaper. The house was very stable. Climbing under it, it was strange because they were only telephone pole-like poles in the center of this house, six of them. So then we had another one. I've had two over the years that turned out we could not do a 203K on. And one of them, this one I'm going to describe, was in Merced, California. I drove all the way down there to do a consultation. And that was about a 3-hour drive for me. At that time, that was a long way, each way, by the way. And we got there, and it turned out to be a war housing. And it was patio slabs poured on a concrete, on a dirt, rather. They were about three inches thick, and there was no footings. The concrete was doing well. I mean, there was some minor hairline cracks, but no major settlement. And then they had 2x3 framing and 3/8-inch asbestos sheets. They were about 2 foot by 3 foot, and they were screwed up there against that 2x3 framing, and it just wasn't enough decent construction to try to turn it into a 203K. Now, had I seen that after I had experience, I think what I would have done is build a footing outside of that house and taken just the foundation and tied it into the footing and then gone about building a new house around the existing one and tear the existing framing out altogether and put some standard 2x4 studs and so forth. That would have been my solution today, having known a lot more now than I did when I first started. And that was way back when I first started. Energy efficient mortgage. In some of the areas in the Bay Area, like Marin County, San Francisco County, Alameda, Contra Costa, Santa Clara, all these counties are what they call the high mortgage areas, where I think the amount you can borrow up to $679,250. Right now, as I recall. If I'm off a little bit, I don't need to hear about it. Just look it up before you do it. I can look it up for you if you call me. But you can actually get loan amounts higher than that if you qualify for the EEM, the Energy Efficient Mortgage. Now, we had a guest a few weeks back, I guess it's a few months ago, my good friend Michael Faust on the East Coast, Connecticut. And he specializes in the EEM. Maybe we'll have him back again and talk a little more about it. But we had one I thought was interesting. I still do. Where it was the people were going to close escrow on the 26th of the month of December. And they ran out in early December, mid-December, and charged up $8,000 worth of toys and things, presents for their family and children. I hope my kids aren't listening to this right now, but I don't recall ever spending $8,000 on a Christmas present. But these people did. And what that did, their ratios, their loan-to-value ratios were way low. They were borderline. And when they did that, it threw them out of kilt. They no longer could buy this house. It was not going to close Monday the 26th or Tuesday the 26th, whatever it was, as planned. But the homeowner actually remembered something I said at the consultation, and I tell my clients this every time. If at any point something goes south, something goes on, then you don't understand it or you don't seem to be able to get by it, figure a way to get around it, call me as soon as possible and let me know, because we've seen pretty much everything go wrong that could go wrong, and we have solutions that may work in your case. So in this case, they called me and said, we can't buy the house. And I said, all right, let me do a little research, and I want to look at what we're doing to your house. Now, the energy efficient mortgage is all about looking at the energy savings that you're going to have by doing certain things. Now, you cannot add appliances, even though they may be Energy Star rated. They don't qualify for the home. They do qualify for the loan, but you don't qualify for the EEM. So what we're looking for the EEM is insulation. Now, if we're going to go around and we're insulating the attic and the floor and maybe the walls, all the costs of those things can be added up along with the cost of energy efficient windows. And we could take all the costs up to 5% of the purchase price. Okay. And in his case, the $8,000 was within that 5%. And we found something like, I don't know, $15,000 or $16,000 worth of energy efficient items. So we contacted our source for EEM, and they went out and did an assessment and said, okay, you're going to save this much money if you do this. And we were able to close that one day late on the 27th of the month because he called me just the day before Christmas or day 2 days before Christmas and told me the problem. We were able to work out the details, get somebody out there. And I tell you, the happiest person out there was the realtor, because the realtor was about to lose a commission on a sale at Christmas. Can you imagine? They probably already had that money spent. So luckily, we just delayed closing for one day. My lender was happy. When I told the lender the solution that I had come up with, they said, oh my God, I know that, and I didn't even think of that. It didn't cross my mind. And that's why we work in teams. I can't tell you how important it is to work in teams. Find a good team that you're comfortable with and stick with them. I don't like to switch. The other day, I got a call, and they want me to take over a project. They told me why, and I get on the phone with the consultant that was on the project, who's now the inspector, and I said, are you having any issues with this that I can help you with? Because, frankly, they've asked me to replace you, and I don't really want to do that unless you don't want the project anymore. And he said, no, I got the project under control. I said, all right, then I'm going to back off, and I'm going to let you deal with it. But it's not about stealing orders. It's not about taking something from somebody else. It's all about helping people solve the issues and helping them learn what it's going to take to solve that particular type issue. So when it comes up again, they have solutions. But the EEM will actually help a house if you've got a lot of insulation and windows and stuff like that, energy efficient items, and they take the money for those items out of the loan and recalculate your ratios. All right. So when your ratios are put back, then they qualify you for the loan. They dump all that those items back into the loan, and you do those items. We identify them as energy efficient, and as they're done, you're going to get a certificate for the energy rating on your home now with those things done. So it's pretty cool. And you can actually close higher with more money than the maximum mortgage amount for your county. So in the case where you have 5% on $679,000 and you have enough energy items to do that, you might close 5% higher, up to 5% higher, depending on how many of those energy efficient items we have. So anyway, this has been fun. I'm glad Howard called in. Again, he's a good friend. Anybody that wants to contact Howard for any reason, he's located in Sacramento at Guild Mortgage. Again, he's got lots and lots of good experience, and he'll be able to help walk you through any potential hazards on a 203K. Let's see. Okay, we had a question from a lender. He saw a product that we offer where we guarantee 50 loans in a seminar that we put on within 30 days of giving that seminar anywhere in the United States. We guarantee it. So if 50 loans is good for you, if you're a lender and you're looking for 50 new loans in your hopper, in your pipeline, why not challenge us? You know, this is a simple thing. We do it. You'll be happy that you did. It isn't free. We do. We contact me if you're interested, and we put a value on that. We get paid up front. Our seminars is going to shock you in a dynamic and positive way. So if 50 new loans would be worth it to you, 50 new customers, your realtor, that is your favorite realtor, is also going to benefit. So you want to bring them to that seminar along with probably everybody that works for them. Because they are going to get some brand new agency agreement signed and commissions on every sale. I'm talking, if we got, let's say out of that 50 loans, 10 of them probably going to be refinances. 40 of them are probably going to be new loans, purchases. And many of those are not going to have an agency agreement or a realtor representing them. So that is cool, because your favorite realtor is going to get anywhere between 10 and 30 new listings, and we're going to sell that house that night. We're going to get them under contract the night we do the seminar in many cases. So thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it very much. I think we're about out of time. The engineer isn't throwing his hands up yet, but we do appreciate you being here. And we hope you'll be back with us next Sunday, 1 to 2. If I can find out my page, wherever it is here, I've got to. I'm glad I didn't drop these things. Anyway, we do appreciate you being here. Thanks for being with us today. Join us next week on Sunday between 1 and 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are, I don't think I said it in the beginning of this thing, we're doing this particular show from our offices in Columbia, South Carolina. So we're on a different time zone. It's almost 5 o'clock here. So the podcast, or this broadcast, is brought to you by the Mike Young team. We look forward to seeing you next time. Please bring your questions and plan on calling in. The program is much more fun when we have callers. So God bless you, and see you next week.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now, and let's get your home makeover projects done right.